right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Hassle Free TV is on. Kept Guy One is on. Waterline 46 is on. Salty Gonads is on. SCWA Ratcliffe is on. D9597 is on. Alpha Acres is on. Snarl Barkley is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Dave Souders is on. Dead Plant is on. Mobetta 01 is on. Neanthro Soup is on. Mike Griffith is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Gritterdom is on. Why Not Me is on. Snag Dog is on. Judy Anita is on. Bud Dave is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Neanthro Soup is on. Man 26 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Todd Suff is on. Itsua 99 is on. K4 VMS is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Wilbur's Bud 1 is on. Jamil Hausen is on. Daniel Armstrong Wreck is on. Black Bart 201 is on. John Phillips is on. Sheila K is on. Alpha Acres is on. Joe Heathen is on. Charlie 340 is on. Luann 5 is on. Coco Dominki is on. Mickey 44 is on. Lisa Kinzer 11960 is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Jim Kohler is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. General Lee 78 is on. Milwaukee James is on. Key Lime 13 is on. Joe Gens is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Summer Rep is on. Peg Joe is on. Neo Solo and a bunch of numbers is on. Conservative Warrior 65 is on. Let me see. Anybody miss? Scooter 887 is on. LA 106 106 Times is on. Gianna Jones, already Rumble Ranner, thank you so much, is on. Let me see if I missed anybody. Top Gunner is on. Melissa Pickerel is on. Q13013 is on. I'm just scrolling through. Kathy 1604 is on. Aaron Yeager's on. Florida Bubs is on. Nitsua 99, already a Rumble Ranner, $5. Thank you so much. Bagel Boy is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Amazing, isn't it? For the first time ever, and listen, you have to give Biden credit where credit is due. Bro, Biden has propelled the New York Stock Exchange to actually chant USA, USA at the site of the hope of Donald J. Trump. So you have Donald J. Trump ringing the bell in the New York Stock Exchange because things have been so horrible under Joe Biden. For the first time in my life, have I ever heard the New York Stock Exchange ever chanting USA, USA, USA at the sight of the hope of Donald J. Trump? Because things have been so lousy over the last 3 years and 10 and a half months, roughly. All right, so the big story, everybody knows what it is. The FBI was in the crowd. And I just want to say that if you actually believe the IG's reports, IG Horowitz's report, you're crazy. You're like, Tom, he acknowledged that there was 26 FBI agents in the J6 crowd. Okay, how many of you really believe that there was only 26 FBI assets in a crowd of thousands? I mean, does anybody actually believe that at all? Not to mention how many Capitol Hill police officers were in there, how many DC Metro officers were in there. I mean, none of that. We have the videotape, but why wasn't that part of the IG's report? Although I guess he's only the inspector general over the DOJ, but we already shown the videos of a DC Metro cop undercover in the crowd inciting crimes. We've shown the video. Aaron and I have showed the video on the podcast. I'm wondering where that is and wonder why that guy has never been charged, along with Ray Epps. I mean, like, people are like, Ray Epps has been charged. Ray Epps is the only person on video actually inciting a riot, inciting felonious activities, and he suffers a slap on the wrist after he is one of the FBI's most wanted one day, taken down the next, which ensures the very fact that he's an FBI asset. But I mean, probably you don't want to hear a whole short story about Ray Epps, but we should do an entire story about Ray Epps. Because even though he was charged, and Ray Epps hasn't spent a day in jail, he's done more than every single person currently sitting in the DC gulag. And yet, he has never been charged with a felonious crime. He was never charged under the Enron statute that the SCOTUS took down. He was never charged with that. Amazing, isn't it? But anyway, so Nick Sorter video breaking. Inspector General report, little clip from Fox News. Play for me, Will.
Exactly were they doing? And in fact, some of them, as we learned from this report, entered the restricted area, went into the Capitol. Were they inciting anything? Mm-hmm. Were they enticing anyone to go with them? I really would love to know what exactly they were saying to the people in the groups that they were part of. I also think it's interesting that this report comes out the day after Chris Wray resigns. It seems to me that he may not have wanted to contend with the questions that, of course, are going to emerge from everything that we're learning today. And the other point I'd like to make is something that David Spence just raised, where he said that Matthew Graves, who's the U.S. attorney here in Washington, D.C., did not prosecute any of those confidential human sources, spies, that did enter the Capitol that day. Graves' office did put out a statement and said that they did not generally prosecute anyone who just went into the Capitol and didn't commit other crimes. My question there is, what does generally mean? How did they make those decisions? And why weren't those particular paid spies part of that group?
The 23 confidential human sources, just reading through this, Carrie, three of them entered the Capitol during the riot. An additional 11 entered the restricted area around the Capitol, to your point. Based on what we have learned so far in the details of this report, how would you characterize the findings?
Well, it's very interesting. I think it's especially interesting, given that people who were, some of them were just, I think, internet sleuths and the like, have been talking about this for years. And it was only, I think, a couple of years ago that a DOJ attorney in court made the admission that some of these people were present that day. But if you remember, anyone who even raised the possibility that there were paid FBI spies part of what happened on January 6th, they were deemed crazy, conspiracy theorists, and the like. Now, look, confidential human sources are a law enforcement tool that are used in all kinds of situations, and we know that some of these people were apparently part of the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers. But again, why so many? What were they doing? What were the conversations they were having? And if they were, in fact, according to the IG and the FBI, not authorized to be there, then why weren't they prosecuted like everybody else who were prosecuted for similar issues?
On that point, you and I were talking about this off camera. So far, as of August, 1,488 people who were there on January the 6th have been charged with some sort of an offense. 894 of those people have pled guilty to various offenses. 288 pled guilty to felonies. 606 pled guilty to misdemeanors. Yet none of these confidential informants were charged with anything.
Right, so you have to wonder, what were the conversations that were happening behind the scenes? And something else that came out in this report was that the confidential human sources, apparently the information they were providing to the FBI was no different than what everyone else was providing. Like, hey, January 6th, there might be some violence, there might be a thing. So there wasn't any, apparently, it sounds like there wasn't anything special that they were revealing. And, you know, again, the questions are, what were those confidential human sources who were, quote, not encouraged or directed to be there by the FBI? What were they saying to the other people in their groups? And the reason I keep raising that is because if, in fact, there were conversations occurring like, hey, let's go in there, let's do that, let's do this. You know, entrapment is a defense. You know, if a government agent induces you to commit a crime, a defendant can raise that in the court of law and say, look, I was trapped into doing something. I was enticed into doing something by the government I otherwise wouldn't have done. Now, the government's response based on this report would probably be, well, they weren't authorized by the government to be there at the time. But then, of course, a question for a judge would be, well, could they have been perceived still as an agent of the government, given that they were, you know, this confidential human source? What did the defendant know about them and their role at the time? I just think this report raises more questions, but certainly at a minimum, gives some credibility to people who have been saying this for so many years.
And I assume that we're never going to learn the names or the identities of the confidential informants. So that will leave open the question as to who it was.
All right, so let's go over the numbers here. First of all, Aaron brought this up. I might have forgotten, but I was thinking about it earlier today. And of course, it's also all over social media, but it wasn't what I was focused on. But of course, this happens the day after Wray resigns. And Will was asking how long did this report take? Well, let's add up the numbers, shall we? Let's just round up to J6 of 2025, since it's already December 12th today.
Yeah.
So 4 years. 4 freaking years for the IG to complete a report on what happened on J6. 4 years, and lo and behold, imagine being stupid enough to be a Democrat and believing any of this. Or maybe you're not so stupid that you are. You're just such a political hack that you will go ahead and lie and act like it's simply a coincidence that after 4 years of this quote-unquote investigation, we're going deep into this tonight. Hope you don't get bored by J6, because I don't know if I'll make it to anything else. I hope I do. But anyway, imagine being a Democrat and believing that, or being such a sycophant that you'll go along with believing that, that this report comes out the day after Chris Wray resigns. And you're a Democrat, like you're a Krasenstein, you're a Mehdi Hassad, Brooklyn Dad, all these people out there with these 100,000 plus follower accounts, that you will actually espouse that this is a virtuous report when it comes the day after the FBI director resigns, 4 years after. I mean, imagine the timing. You have 4 years where it could have been released at any time, but lo and behold, it gets released the day after Chris Wray resigns. And that, and you're such a pathetic person, lacking all integrity, lacking all human dignity, that you will play like this is anything else but mass corruption. You're out there as a Democrat, and you're like, oh, no, you know, it's just a coincidence that this happened. And you know that it's not. What kind of person are you that you'll go out and say, this is simply a coincidence after 4 years and all 365 times four, the day this report gets released is the day after Chris Wray resigns. So just remember, this is for all intents and purposes the FBI investigating the FBI. It should be an independent counsel, but Joe Biden would never appoint that. It's coming because the new FBI under Cash Patel will be one giant independent counsel. When you've got 7,000, Aaron, find out for me the name of the FBI headquarters. If you know it in the chat, put it on. I cannot remember.
J. Edgar Hoover Building.
Yeah, and it's something. It's got another... It is the Hoover Building, you're right. I was wondering if it had a different little nickname. But anyway, like Quantico.
Oh, yeah,
Quantico. You're right, it's J. Edgar Hoover Building, but it's in Quantico, Virginia. Quantico, because I kept getting it mixed up with Langley. And even Joe Rogan CIA, did the same thing. Yeah, Langley is CIA. But anyway, if you've got 7,000 people working in the Hoover Building alone, that's in Quantico, Virginia, basically in Washington, D.C., alone. 7,000 people in a building. Can you imagine that, by the way? Doing absolutely nothing, not solving any crimes, just like Anthony Fauci at the NIAID. But anyway, I digress. In the NIH. Doing nothing, doesn't help us, doesn't do anything for us. But anyway, 7,000 people. Cash Patel needs to fire all the sycophants, but if there are people that are actually willing to work for a living, they all need to be split up, those 7,000 people, into various task forces. The Hillary Clinton task force, with her deleting of classified emails and storing classified emails on a server in a bathroom in Colorado. Right there. The Fauci division. The Collins division. The Rochelle Walensky division. The Christopher Wray division. The Jack Smith. 7,000 people doing absolutely nothing. Assign 25 each to all of these people that need to spend years and years and years in federal prison. Some of them being arrested actually for treason. So you got all these people. Let's separate them all out and let's get them doing investigations supervised by people you can trust, because, of course, these are people that are currently employed by the FBI. And all of these people need to be looked into. So anyway, so this great Biden administration coincidence happens again. I mean, just I can't, like, Tom, get over it. I can't imagine the audacity of somebody going out and espousing that, wow, it's such a coincidence that this report came out the day after Wray resigned, after it's taken 4 years to get to this day. And out of all those 365 times 4 days that they could have picked, they picked the day after Wray resigned, because the IG is working for Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco. So anybody who believes that it was only 26 FBI informants in the crowd, I don't know why they're bothering to do this, because Cash Patel takes the reins on January 20th about noon. And they're going to get to the bottom of this. And then listen, and I don't want to speak negatively. If the Trump administration doesn't get to the bottom of this, it's going to happen again. I'm not talking about January 6th, because January 6th certainly was no insurrection. You cannot commit an insurrection. Just look around the world. Whenever there's an actual insurrection, there's people with firearms and tanks. Not in cannons and artillery. Those are insurrections. Like, part of your military breaks off and attacks the government. That's an insurrection. Not people with MAGA flags, with no firearm. Not one firearm was found. The only people with firearms were the FBI assets on the ground. That's the only people with firearms. So they're saying that there was 26 FBI informants in the crowd that weren't encouraged or directed to be there. Now, they're saying that there were possibly some that were notified, that notified their handlers. It kind of gets complicated. And I might even have this in my stack. I'm not sure if I got it in my stack or not. But anyway, some of the field offices, how, of course, it works in law enforcement, is you have managed assets. So it's scattered throughout the United States, and, you know, hundreds of thousands of FBI employees and staff. But anyway, these assets, confidential employees, you know, confidential human sources, CISs they call them, whatever, CHSs, whatever. I just call them informants, whatever we call them. We all know what we're talking about. So they're managed in various FBI offices around the United States of America. Some of those offices did notify the FBI that their assets were going to be there. But if I read the article correctly, they weren't really acknowledged. The notification really wasn't like acknowledged, but they were notified. But it's not really a great summation of it, but I should have actually copied and pasted that article. But anyway, there were some notifications, but none of these people were encouraged or directed to be there, according to the FBI. According to IG Horowitz's investigation. Now, of the 26 informants that were there, three, depending on which report you read, or four entered the Capitol. 11 entered a restricted area. Now, according to their rules, I'm talking about the DOJ, where you have Merrick Garland, Lisa Monaco, and then the U.S. attorney just underneath them, which is Matthew Graves. According to their rules, if you entered the Capitol, or you entered, 11 of which did, three of which entered the Capitol, three or four, and four entered restricted area, you must be charged with a crime. Would everybody agree?
Absolutely.
Because they've arrested 1,488 so far. Many of them for those alleged offenses. And remember the whole SCOTUS Enron case where they were charging them with a statute that did not remotely apply to what they did. So the reason why they did that is the Enron statute for paper shredding. They were charging J6, quote unquote, offenders with paper shredding under what they would call an obstruction charge. And it had to do with Enron when they were caught shredding papers and shredding computer files, CDs and such. It had no application to J6 at all. But because they couldn't charge them with anything else, they charged them with paper shredding. And then the SCOTUS threw it out. And by the way, that was 40% of Jack Smith's case against Donald Trump thrown out in one day. Doesn't matter now. But so you had 1,488 people charged, but none of the 26 were charged. But according to the FBI, they didn't encourage them or direct them to be there, but yet also didn't charge them. So does anybody believe that they weren't encouraged or directed to be there? Mm-mm. Because if you're not going to charge them, then you obviously encourage them to be there. Or are we going to have another giant coincidence here where all 26 weren't charged? And if anybody actually believes in the integrity of Horowitz, you've lost your mind. You're like, I've seen him. He's given some honest testimony. That's only to give him a veneer of credibility. Same thing with Lindsey Graham when he votes for pro-life things. It gives him, when they don't actually take effect, when he votes pro-life, when he knows that Roe v. Wade won't be overturned, when he knows that Roe v. Wade could be overturned, he doesn't vote pro-life or just doesn't talk about it. It's just because somebody at a hearing says something like Trey Gowdy, oh, he roasted Comey. That's just to give him a veneer of credibility. He's pro-Comey. But if they don't have a veneer of credibility, they're not going to win in a primary. So they have to have the veneer of credibility, even though they vote against what they say they believe. So none of the 26 were charged with what everybody else was charged with. Here's the list. 1,488 were charged with crimes. 894 pleaded guilty. 288 pled guilty to felonies. 606 pled guilty to misdemeanors. but none of the 26 are part of the 1488. Isn't that weird? And how many D.C. Metro officers were in the crowd? How many Capitol Hill police officers were in the crowd? How many? Now, who was protecting Donald Trump on J-13 in Butler, Pennsylvania? Oh, Secret Service. No. No. It was actually DHS agents untrained for personal protection. Well, how many of those were? How many DHS? You can trust Alejandro Mayorkas, can't you? How many DHS agents were in the crowd? Is just this an obfuscation from Horowitz? And here's what they do also. It's just like we showed the video last night. It's just thrilled, Will, I'm sure, that $8 billion is still being poured into the Taliban worldwide, about $20 to $30 million a week. But Antony Blinken from the United States, out of the $8 billion worldwide, $20 to $30 million per week is going into the Taliban coffers. Right now, every week, every day, hundreds of billions before that, and then since we withdrew, in August of 2022, it's still going in there every week, $20, $30 million. And what does Antony Blinken say? Another effeminate man who's charged with ruling over us. What did he say? Oh, we're not spending that. It's going to NGOs. How many NGOs were in the crowd? Did you see how that works? It wasn't the government. What governments do, and listen to Mike Benz on this stuff, the government uses NGOs to do what they are not allowed to lawfully do. So they use an NGO to ban speech on Twitter. They use a private company to ban speech on Facebook, on YouTube, on Google. They use a private company to do it, or they use an NGO to do it. They use an NGO, Catholic Family Services, Jewish Family Services, in the Darien Gap, hundreds and hundreds of millions and even billions of dollars to facilitate child sex trafficking into the United States of America. So 26 FBI informants in the crowd, everybody but them charged. Three of them in the Capitol, four of them possibly in the Capitol, 11 in restricted areas, and not one of them was charged. And we're supposed to believe this is an integral report? Absolutely not. All right, let's go to the next one. Charlie Kirk video. Here's what a lot of people were actually charged with. The Enron statute. Play for me.
And some more breaking news, this time about the January 6th rioters. The Supreme Court has just ruled. Let's get to Shannon Bream. What did they say?
So what they have said is that one of the statutes the Justice Department used to charge hundreds of different January 6th defendants is no good. And that includes President Donald Trump, because he has actually had two of these counts against him in the Jack Smith D.C. case against him, that federal criminal case that has been on hold here. So what essentially they say is this statute, which was passed in the wake of Enron, they say it doesn't fit here. He says, given that the subsection was enacted to address the Enron disaster, not some other far-flung set of dangers like what happened just right over here at the Capitol, it is unlikely that Congress responded with such an unfocused and grossly incommensurate patch in English. That essentially means that all of these people who were charged under this particular obstruction statute for January 6th, that is no good. The dissent, this is a very interesting vote makeup, because the dissent is actually written by Justice Barrett, and she is joined by Justices Sotomayor and Kagan. She says that Congress did intend for this kind of conduct to be brought under this particular obstruction charge. She thinks the majority got it wrong. But what it means is a big headache for the DOJ and good news for hundreds of January 6th defendants charged under this statute, again, including.
Out of the 26 FBI informants that were in the crowd, 14 of which either entered the Capitol or restricted areas, not one of them was ever charged with the Enron thing either. Of course, that's all been withdrawn now, and they found other charges to recharge them with, or just extenuate their sentences. So they just pull back the statutes and elongate their sentences. That's what's been going on. It's all, listen, again, Kash Patel, he's got 7,000 employees, 7,000 FBI employees at Quantico alone, in the Hoover Building, alone, that he wants to turn into a museum for the deep state. Don't do that. Let's split them all up, put them all on task forces, and let's get to the bottom of all of this. You got to investigate Tanya Shutkin, Judge Tanya Shutkin. You got to investigate Judge Engeron. You got to investigate Juan Merchan and his daughter. You got to investigate all, and there's millions of other things that pop into my mind as the show goes on that need to be investigated. The vaccine, DOD, Operation Warp Speed needs to be investigated. Trump did that, Tom. He doesn't know what really happened with it. Believe me, he doesn't know. Should have known, but he doesn't know. So Alpha Acres was asking in the chat, what about Mark Zuckerberg's $1 million to the Trump inauguration? Mark Zuckerberg's trying to buy his way in. Here's the thing. Here is the great test, the line of demarcation for Mark Zuckerberg. Until people like me are no longer banned on Facebook, Donald Trump should give him back his $1 million because Mark Zuckerberg has done all that he can to harm Donald Trump. And by the way, Mark Zuckerberg is responsible for the deaths of many Americans because he wouldn't allow information on Facebook about ivermectin. He wouldn't allow information on that said that these vaccines were killing people. And even if you believe the absolute ridiculous VAERS report, which still to this day claims somewhere in the neighborhood of 30,000 deaths, even though there's about 35 million excess deaths globally, even that belongs to Zuckerberg. Because Zuckerberg wouldn't allow any contradictory to the narrative vaccine information on Facebook. If it contradicted anything that Fauci or Collins or Walensky, NIH, NIAID, CDC, whatever, if it contradicted any of that narrative, Zuckerberg would not allow it on Facebook. He should not be allowed anywhere near. Mark Zuckerberg put out a video of himself playing Born in the USA, surfing with an American flag. He put that out too. And Mark Zuckerberg's trying to repair his reputation. Mark, if you really want to repair your reputation, unban us all. Unban us. Because like I've told you a million times, I don't mean to whine and complain about it, but mine and Aaron's podcast, the second podcast, we had 900 people watching. I have 900 people watching right now that I can see, although we are now on Christian Television Network right now. But I'm just saying we have 857 people that I can see on our second podcast. On Facebook, basically Facebook alone,
yeah,
we had 900 people watching. There was no Rumble yet. This was 5 years ago. And we were banned overnight. Then YouTube banned us too. What did I say? I just said what was true. COVID had a 0.1% death rate. So I said 0.1% death rate. That's all it is. That's what I said. And it got me banned. And there's, of course, lots of other things too. And a lot of stuff about the election too. But anyway. All right. So back to J6. Kyle Becker tweet. Just in, I want to show you this. Can you trust Inspector General reports? Just remember that it's all a giant D.C. swamp where everybody's eating together. Everybody's going out to dinner together. Everybody is married to each other. Everybody is connected via marriage or friendship or organization. Everybody's connected. I've gone under this before, but it's just like if you want to be a judge in D.C., you had better convict who they want you to convict. If you don't, you'll lose your ticket to the cocktail circuit. You'll lose your ticket to the inner sanctum. So you, if you're Tanya Shutkin and you want to, you know, someday be AG, someday rise up the governmental ladder, some way, maybe run the FBI, if you want to do that, then you have to convict people. So it's not based on preponderance of evidence in civil cases. It's not based on proof beyond a reasonable doubt in criminal cases. It's based on what will profit or self-aggrandize the judge in the D.C. circuit. That's what it's really all about. So if you honestly believe that you can trust these inspector generals who just float in and out of government, float in and out of judgeships, float in and out of prosecutorial roles, whether it's district attorneys, state attorneys, U.S. attorneys, they drift in and out of those roles. If you think you can trust these people and you will not get those roles, you will not get those jobs unless you convict who the globalist left, i.e. Democratic Party, wants you to convict. Because remember, 95% of D.C. voted for Joe Biden. And that's who's ruling over us, even though they're not allowed to rule over us. They believe that they can and are trying to rule over us, even though we are only governed by a document, not a human being. But so you can't trust any of these, whether it's Horowitz or whether it's the DOD Inspector General. Switching over now, we've already covered this once, but I'm going to cover it again just to show you that you cannot trust IGs. Well, it's an Inspector General. It's still the organization inspecting themselves. What I would like is to get a trustworthy sheriff to come in, whether it's Lamb. One of those guys, have one of them come in and investigate him. You know, have Mike Davis investigate him. I mean, actually, Article 3 Project, have them come in and investigate him. How about that? How about the Liberty Council comes in and investigates him? You pay them. I mean, they would love to pay. Give them $10 million and investigate them because they're going to spend. You give them 10 and get a real investigation, get a truthful investigation, get an integral investigation, or you can spend $500 million and get a bunch of lies spewed out by some inspector general. But again, Kyle Becker just in, although it's not just in, this is from a couple weeks ago. The Pentagon also did an IG report on itself for 1/6 about the National Guard. Remember, we did that whole thing at nauseam here. I spent 10 minutes on it. I spent an hour on it, as usual. The Pentagon's inspector general concedes that a House investigation to a House investigation that it misled. The inspector general concedes that he of the DOD concedes that he himself, because I like how they put the word that it, that's not an it, it's a he, that he misled the American people about the National Guard troops being delayed to respond to J6 riots. So can we believe Horowitz of the FBI? Because you just had the Pentagon's own inspector general say that you can't trust him because he purposely misled a congressional hearing. So if you can't believe that IG, then can you believe the FBI IG? Today, the Oversight Administration Chairman, Barry Loudermilk, sent a letter to the Department of Defense Inspector General Robert Storch. So you got Horowitz and Storch, demanding a correction of the DOD's factually inaccurate January 6th report as first reported by the Federalist. Here's the rest of it. You just leave this up, Will. After a thorough investigation, the subcommittee uncovered evidence, this is from Barry Loudermilk, substantiating that the Department of Defense intentionally delayed. Guys, do we get this? Do we understand what happened here? That the Department of Defense purposely, intentionally delayed the deployment of the National Guard that was 2 miles away from J6, and then everybody claims that it's an insurrection? Who was the insurrection? Was it the Trump supporters? Or was it the DOD? Which one was it? If you purposely do not deploy the National Guard during a quote-unquote riot, who's responsible for all the crime then? You and the rioters. After a thorough investigation, the subcommittee uncovered evidence substantiating that the Department of Defense, so the Department of Defense, not even the IG, the IG then lied about it, but the Department of Defense intentionally delayed the deployment of the D.C. National Guard to the Capitol on J6, 2021. In addition, the DOD IG concealed, this is not me, this is not right-wing conspiracy theory, this is from a Capitol Hill investigation. And remember, the Pentagon Inspector General concedes to it. In addition, the DOD IG concealed the extent, so not only did he purposely mislead, he also concealed the extent and cause of the delay to protect the Department of Defense and Pentagon leadership. So you're talking about the person investigating is protecting the entity that they're investigating? Aaron, did you hear that?
Yeah.
That'd be like, you know what? I arrest somebody for theft and I tell them, can you investigate your theft and tell me whether you're guilty or not? Because that's exactly what just happened here. So you have the DOD investigating itself and the DOD investigator exonerating the DOD. What a shock. You're like, Tom, you're inordinately pissed off. Yeah, I am. I hate corrupt cops. It's so disgusting to me. So in addition, the DOD IG concealed the extent and cause of the delay to protect the Department of Defense Pentagon leadership. The subcommittee found multiple instances where the DOD IG failed. So the Pentagon purposely delayed it. And then the DOD IG lied about them delaying it. The DOD IG failed to disclose evidence contradicting the DOD's IG's erroneous conclusion. The DOD IG's report reflects an alarming failure to adequately evaluate the actions of senior DOD officials, including Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy, who failed to communicate deployment orders to Major General Walker, the commander of the DCNG National Guard, on January 6th. Let me go over that just real quick so everybody knows. Very strangely, Aaron and Will, very strangely, coincidentally, of course, just like, you know, the release of the IG FBI report the day after Ray resigns. It's just so much in our face. How much more of this crap are we going to take? And our officials need to be, I'm not afraid of the word, our retribution. That you're going to have the FBI director resign, and then the following day, after four freaking years, the FBI IG releases the report. How much more of this are we going to take? So back to the lying DOD IG. He failed to, his report reflects an alarming failure to adequately evaluate the actions of senior DOD officials, including Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy. So the day before, White Rage Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who's busy at that time making sure he's on the phone with China, guaranteeing that he will commit treason against Donald Trump if need be. That's a fact. And I don't throw treason around lightly. You are not, he's not allowed to be in communication with our number one geopolitical threat. It's not just geopolitical. It's actually military threat also. But regardless, he's not allowed to be on the phone with them without the president's consent and approval. And I wonder why that call was not recorded. But anyway, so the day before, on January 5th, coincidentally, Mark White Rage Milley communicates with Ryan McCarthy via memo and writes a memo declaring that the only way to deploy any National Guard unit worldwide, i.e. United States, i.e. covering the entire continental United States, the only way to deploy a National Guard troop would be via a phone call directly to the Secretary of the Army, Ryan McCarthy, who was strangely unreachable on 1-6. As was Nancy Pelosi for 71 minutes when Stevenson, the Capitol Hill police chief, was calling her. She was unreachable too for 71 minutes. And Ryan McCarthy, now back in the day, before that memo written on 1-5 of 21, before that day, Major General William Walker, the commander of the DCNG, DC National Guard, could release the National Guard at his discretion. But that was all changed the day before by Mark Milley via memo. And it was changed to that in order for William Walker to release his National Guard troops that were stationed 2 miles away and were bivouacked and ready to go, in order for him to release them, he would have to call Ryan McCarthy. And Ryan McCarthy was unreachable for hours. Strange, isn't it? And then the IG for the DOD is lying about it all. And has confessed to lying about it all. Remember, the Pentagon Inspector General concedes to the House investigation that he misled the American people about National Guard troops being delayed to respond to the J6 riots. After a thorough investigation, the subcommittee uncovered evidence substantiating that the Department of Defense intentionally delayed. That is fucking treason, folks. Will's a military man. Can you imagine this? That there is a situation that requires the National Guard to respond, which, by the way, Donald Trump offered days and days and weeks in advance, 10,000 of them to Nancy Pelosi, turned down. McConnell turned it down. Schumer turned it down. Muriel Bowser turned it down. And then when they are needed, allegedly, people have put obstacles in the way for them to respond on purpose the day before. Unbelievable. I honestly, I can't believe it. Sorry, 9:45. Gosh, dog. I'm telling you right now, I honestly think Aaron will instantly agree with this. If I didn't have more to do, I probably could just talk about this for 3 hours straight.
Oh yeah, easily.
I mean, I'm trying to shut the faucet off because I don't get it. I mean, I mean, how much more of this are we going to take? I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about civil retribution.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, and by civil, I mean both civil cases, criminal cases. I'm talking about litigation and prosecution. White Rage Milley needs to spend the rest of his life in federal prison.
Yeah.
For treason and for putting that memo in place purposely so that the National Guard could not respond. This is all on purpose. And then you got Pelosi on videotape calling for the National Guard. Then Pelosi blaming herself for not calling the National Guard. I mean, it makes no sense. All right, Insurrection Barbie video. Flashback to when Rep. Loudermilk told us that the J6 committee got rid of all the videos. So then we have all of this corruption, and then you have the J6 Unselect Committee. What do you mean, Tom? Unselect. Well, it's unselect because at the time, Kevin McCarthy was the House Minority Leader. So when you have a select committee, you will have five Democrats and two Republicans, roughly. I don't know how they split it up, but that's how this one ended up breaking into those those numbers. So anyway, if it's a select committee, get how elementary this is, Aaron. If it's a select committee, that means that both the majority and the minority get to do what?
Pick their members.
Yeah, select their members. Now, our members that were selected were Jim Jordan and Jim Banks. Those were both refused by Nancy Pelosi, who doesn't have the lawful right to refuse them, yet they were refused. And Kevin McCarthy has no balls, so there was no protest at all. Instead, who did she put in? She puts in Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. Shock of all shocks, right? And then this unselect committee, who isn't lawfully allowed to issue subpoenas to Navarro and Bannon. They don't obey the subpoenas because they're not lawfully issued subpoenas. They didn't obey them for a different reason, but they didn't obey them because of presidential immunity, executive immunity, because their communications with Donald Trump are covered under executive immunity. But that's why they didn't respond. But they didn't have to even use that reason, because the select committee is not allowed by law to issue subpoenas because they're not a select committee. Only a select committee can. And that select status was removed the very moment that Nancy Pelosi didn't allow Kevin McCarthy to select his members on the committee. And then they were both convicted of not obeying subpoenas that weren't lawfully issued by juries and judges and grand juries. What's wrong with these freaking judges? Oh, they're part of the DC circuit. If you don't convict Bannon, you're not getting the next promotion. You're not getting the next invite. You're not getting the next government position. So you must convict, not based on preponderance of evidence or proof beyond a reasonable doubt, but based on your own personal advancement and political agenda. So back to the 1-6 committee, unselect committee. Insurrection Barbie video, flashback to when Rep. Loudermilk told us that the J6 committee got rid of all the video depositions. I mean, how much more of this are we going to take? How are you allowed, Hillary Clinton style, to simply get rid of depositions and evidence that cost you and I millions of dollars for them to collect, but yet now they've deleted it all? How are they allowed to do that? How are they not being perped walked out of buildings as we speak? All right, Insurrection Barbie video. Play it for me, Will.
Confirmed to us that the videotapes of Cassidy Hutchinson, the ones where she's now changing her testimony through the errata, that they are missing, they are gone?
That is true. I can confirm that. And all of the videotapes of all depositions are gone. Again, we found out about this early in the investigation when I received a call from someone who was looking for some information off one of the videotapes. And we started searching and we had none. I wrote a letter to Benny Thompson asking for them, and he confirmed that they did not preserve those tapes. He didn't feel that they had to, but according to House rules, you have to preserve any data and information and documents that are used in an official proceeding, which they did. They actually aired portions of these tapes on their televised hearings, which means they had to keep those, but yet he chose not to. I believe they exist somewhere. We've just got to find where all these videos are. And here's why it's so important. Even with Cassidy Hutchins, people have asked, why do you need the videos? You've got written transcripts. Well, when you've got someone like Cassidy who is significantly changing her testimony, I want to see what her body language is when she gave her original testimony. Yeah. I want to see what her voice inflection is. Was she very confident in what she was saying at that time, but then later decided to change it? This is why it's so important that we have those videotapes, and I believe that's probably why.
And I'm excited to get to these things. So let me show you this stuff. And here we are, in the Real Robert videos now, one of Cassidy Hutchinson, one of Nancy Pelosi. And here are the released transcribed interviews of J6 cover-up committee willfully hid from the public view. And all of these have now been deleted. I mean, how can you be a Democrat? How can you be a Democrat and defend the virtue of this when there is no virtue in it? How can you be a Democrat and not actually call for the prosecution of your fellow Democrats and Rhino Republicans. Imagine if any Republican committee or Donald Trump or any Republican actually ran a hearing. Remember, it was all produced by like NBC or one of those, whatever show it was. They had like a producer off NBC or Peacock or something, actually produced it every night. Millions upon tens of millions of dollars spent, and all that the money was spent on has now been deleted. But as Aaron says, nothing is ever deleted. That's why Hillary Clinton made sure that she bleach-bitted it. This stuff hadn't been bleach-bitted. And technology, there's so much more technology now than back when Hillary Clinton was beating her devices to death, doing factory resets. Now, back then, there were no clouds. It's somewhere. It's somewhere. The treasonous witch, this is from Real Robert, Nancy Pelosi orchestrated a criminal conspiracy to frame Donald Trump and the J6 cover-up committee engaged in the cover-up. The missing driver. You and I have never seen this before, but it's come out now. And just imagine, this is before we even own the DOJ. The missing driver. Trump's driver translated an interview with the Jan 6 committee conducted on November 8th, 2022. He testified that Trump never lunged for the steering wheel. That's Cassidy Hutchinson said that he did. Matter of fact, let's play Cassidy first, and I'll come back to this. Play that for me, Will.
In response to that, Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, "I'm the effing president. Take me up to the Capitol now." To which Bobby responded, "Sir, we have to go back to the West Wing." The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol." Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
And was Mr. Engel in the room as Mr. Ornato told you this story?
He was.
Did Mr.
All right, so there you go. So here it is. Here is the actual testimony from the driver. Now that's Cassidy Hutchinson allowed to testify under oath with third-hand knowledge. The Trump, which again, isn't that hearsay? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Trump's driver, never let the law get in the way of your hearing.
Right.
Trump's driver, remember, people were sent to prison through this hearing. They filed their subpoenas against Navarro and Bannon, which I've already discussed at length, which I could, Aaron, what do you think? Could I spend an hour on that?
Oh, easy.
Okay. So, I mean, oh easy. My gosh. Just off top of my head?
Yes. Yes.
The Trump's driver, this is who she was talking about, the man who allegedly, at the time, 74-year-old Donald Trump, lunged towards. they have a guy who's a black belt in jiu-jitsu right across from him, but Donald Trump's running the show. Donald Trump's dominating the presidential limo, dominating it. They got a guy like jacked up, jacked MMA expert guy, but Donald Trump's still dominating the limousine. You ever fought an MMA guy? You ever wrestled one? Okay, you're not dominating squat. Trump's driver transcribed interview with the J6 committee, which was deleted. Conducted on November 8, 2022, he testified that Trump never lunged for the steering wheel or that he accosted agents, so he never did either one. President Trump never grabbed the steering wheel. What Cassie Hutchinson just say? She's perjuring herself. She also needs to be a whole task force assigned to the J6 Unselect Committee and Cassie Hutchinson herself. I didn't see, Tom, that can't be done. Folks, listen, I worked in a law enforcement agency for 25 years. We actually had some very, very high-profile murder cases here in Sarasota County. It's kind of weird. One was related to Jerry Springer. We had the 9/11 hijackers training right here at Huffman Aviation at Venice Airport. And some other high-profile cases that slipped my mind right now. But I've seen guys. I'm never part of them. I was never a high-profile cop in any way, shape, or form. Simply, I was either in patrol or youth services my whole life, retired as a sergeant. I never dealt with anything beyond basic street level stuff. But anyway, I was around these other people and I saw how long these investigations took. like Carly Brucia. Remember a girl, like 11-year-old girl disappeared, ended up raped and murdered. National, huge national case. Well, those cases were all wrapped up and solved within a couple months. All of this can be done, especially if you got 7,000 people at Quantico alone. This can all be looked into, prosecuted, litigated, people fired, all within the first year of the Trump administration. If you actually have the will to do it and you're not afraid of the Washington Post coming after you and saying, was she just elected to prosecute people? This is why you do both at the same time. You walk and chew gum at the same time. You juice the economy and prosecute and litigate. But anyway, President Trump never grabbed the steering wheel. I didn't see him, you know, lunge to try to get into the front seat at all, the unnamed driver told the committee's investigation. And then we have what's called the missing Orinato, Deputy Chief of Staff Anthony Orinato's first transcribed interview with the J6 committee conducted on January 28th, 2022. He testified Mark Meadows pushed D.C. mayor, not physically, Mario Bowser for Trump's call for 10,000 National Guard troops as she needed to protect the city from the FBI, and the bleep refused. Then we have the missing chairwoman, Joint Chief of Staff, Mark Milley, chairman. He's being Philly here, funny here, Royal Robert, just reading his article. The president just says, hey, look at this. There's going to be a large amount of protesters here on the 6th. Make sure, Mark White Rage Milley, that you have sufficient National Guard or soldiers to make sure it's a safe event, Mark Milley testified before the J6 Unselect Committee. President Trump, hey, I don't care if you use guard or soldiers, active duty soldiers, do whatever you have to do. Just make sure it's safe. Did Mark Milley do whatever he had to do to make sure it's safe? He could have deployed the military itself. Why couldn't he? He is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He's in charge of the secretaries of the Navy, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. He could have put Marines there. He could have put infantry there. He could have put SEAL Team 6 there. What did White Rage Milley do? Nothing. What did White Rage Milley actually do? Create a memo making it impossible for them to deploy National Guard troops the day of. That's what he actually did. Man, I'd like to spend more time on this. Hey, Will, I'm going to throw you a curveball. Can you go to that pick? But the driver said that's about that thing. Awesome. But the driver said, Mr. Trump, never lunged. I'm going to make sure I got all this. Didn't see him reach. Okay, I want to make sure I got this. As detailed in the most scrutinized episodes, the transcript was never released publicly by the House Jan 6 Committee, which entered into an agreement with the Secret Service regarding 12 interviews to avoid disclosing privacy information for official use only information, intelligence and law enforcement sensitive records, and raw intelligence information. I just wanted to put that out there. That's just more about Cassidy Hutchinson's bold-faced perjurious lies in front of the J6 Unselect Committee. All right, now we're going to go back. We'll go back to the Nancy Pelosi. So here's Nancy Pelosi. Remember now, let's make sure we're watching this video through the correct lens. This is a woman, remember what was just testified to, that we know Muriel Bowser was pushed by Mark Meadows to deploy the National Guard. White Rage Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, was pushed by Donald Trump to use whatever means necessary to secure the Capitol, including active duty soldiers, not even National Guard, which was staged 2 miles away, day up, but they couldn't get a hold. I hate when I can't remember his name. It's like McCarthy or something like that. Yeah, Ryan McCarthy, Secretary of the Army. So here is Nancy Pelosi again. A giant coincidence that she happens to know that there might be an incident on 1-6, even though nobody knew that was going to happen. But she knew enough to make sure that she had her daughter's run film crew there, as well as her son-in-law on the Capitol grounds themselves, filming the riot occurring. She knew to do that. Strange how she knew to do that. Maybe that had to do with the 26 FBI informants that were in the crowd actually instigating the crowd to riot. And if you believe there's only 26, you've lost your mind. But here's Nancy Pelosi making sure that she gets on the record that she's called for the National Guard, even though she turned them down weeks in advance. Play for me, Will.
This is Nancy. Governor, I don't know if you have been approached about the Virginia National Guard. Mr. Hoyer was speaking to Governor Hogan, but I still think you probably need the okay of the federal government in order to come into another jurisdiction. Thank you. Oh my gosh, they're just breaking windows, they're doing all kinds of, it's really that somebody, they said somebody was shot. It's just horrendous, and all at the instigation of the President of the United States. Okay, thank you, Governor. I appreciate what you're doing, and if you don't mind, I'd like
to... goes on for 3 minutes, you can pull up what... She makes sure she puts in the video. She makes sure that she says on video, the video that she knew to have going, the recording she knew to have recording the day of the event. She knew prior to that and make sure her daughter was there with a camera the day of the event. She makes sure to get onto the recording that she made sure was going on, that this was all caused by the president. And by the way, she's calling. Get this now. She's on the phone right there with Ralph Northam, when the baby's born, the doctor and the mother will have a conversation and decide whether or not the baby lives or dies. Remember that one? That's Ralph Northam. Sounds like an art church pastor. Everything's fantastic and awesome. But she's on the phone with Ralph Northam. Okay, folks, does everyone realize that the Virginia National Guard, because he's the governor of Virginia, why would they be responding to Washington, D.C.? Let's go back to my reports over here. I'm like Alex Jones tonight.
We need the overhead cam.
I need Aaron fix that. Yeah. Make sure we have an overhead cam.
I'll work on that.
Next show.
Keep the rumble rants going.
Keep the rumble rants going so we can get an overhead cam. You guys can see my glorious reports, which are all written, by the way, in Sharpie.
Sharpie. Red and black Sharpies.
Aaron knows, he's been working with me for years. But anyway, so my message used to be all written in Sharpies too.
I remember.
But anyway, the person she should be in contact with is a Major General William Walker, the commander of the D.C. National Guard. Why is she talking to Ralph Northam of Virginia and Larry Hogan of Maryland so she can say, she called for those National Guards after she turned down the applicable National Guard. Mm-hmm. See how it works? Mm-hmm. That's what she was doing. Making sure she got it on camera, the camera she preordained to be there the day before, because she knew something was going to happen. Made sure she got on camera a couple different times. Why is the National Guard here? I'm calling for the National Guard. You were offered the National Guard on the record, lady, by Donald J. Trump weeks in advance. And you turned him down, just like the D.C. mayor, because she's part of the cabal too, so that Muriel Bowser can get promoted to agricultural director or something. Or that, of course, she wants to be the governor of D.C. when D.C. becomes a state. If Kamala Harris would have been elected, Puerto Rico and D.C. were both going to be states.
Yep.
All right. Tommy Tatum news video. Never forget what happened to Roseanne Borland on January 6th. Play it for me.
January 6th, 2021. Lower West Terrace Tunnel, 4:21 p.m. Roseanne Borland is struck in the face with a pepper ball that is fired by Capitol Police. As people choke and gasp, protester and police officer alike, the demonstrators are pushed out of the tunnel into a pile on the steps. You can see the clouds of gas flowing over the trapped protesters as 31 pepperball rounds collide with the roof and walls, drenching everyone in the tunnel in deadly chemical irritants. After the protesters were pushed out of the tunnel, Roseanne is seen laying unconscious on the ground, bleeding from the mouth and nose. Then D.C. Metro Police Officer Lila Morris picks up a stick and beats Roseanne to death with it. The protesters pull Roseanne away from the police to do CPR on her as the police continue to spray pepper gas on the protesters, trying to save her life. After desperately trying to save Roseanne's life via CPR, the protesters present her to the police so they can save her life. After dragging Roseanne away like a dead animal, DC Metro breaks the defibrillator and doesn't know how to operate it.
How do you get it out?
Go to fedwatchdog.org now for more.
You're good. It's good, guys. I wanted people to see where to get that. You can watch more of this from feddog.com. But anyway, let me just side by side this, Aaron. You can mute it. And I'm just saying, again, I'm not trying to act like a big shot, okay? I'm just telling you, obviously, I was trained as a law enforcement officer, went to the police academy, was a cop for 25 years and a day. Sarasota County Sheriff's Office, you can check my bona fides on that. Now, this is what, can you guys, like, freeze it? Or are you going to keep just, like, bring it back to right before they, like, beat on her? Okay, good. And so, listen. And then, Aaron, just take it from there and just go back and forth the whole time from one start to the other. Right to where the cop starts beating on her. So you see this cop beating her with what's called an asp baton. She didn't pick up a stick, okay? This people don't know. That's an expandable baton. You just flick it with your wrist. It's an asp baton. Most of you watch this already know that. But I'm just telling you, you would never beat somebody on the ground. Let's count. One, two. Keep going. Now slow-mo. There we go. One shot. Two shots. Okay. By the way, of course, this is a steel out. There's a brass baton right there in the photo. Right there. Right there. Right there in the screen. Somebody who's motionless on the ground never gets hit with an ass baton. Right. Let alone, I'm not trying to be mean or disrespectful to Roseanne Borden. Listen, I've got a lot of fat on me, but an obese, unconscious woman on the ground who's no threat to you, explain to me via your use of force matrix why you're beating her with a metal rod and they are not light. I've been trained with an ass baton. I had an ass baton for almost my entire career. Ass batons came after PR24s and before tasers. What is this person doing? So as Aaron put it, they beat Boyd here to death, Roseanne Borland to death, shoot Ashley Babbitt in the neck, all the Capitol Hill police, and then break the defibrillator and have no idea how to use it. We all were trained how to use defibrillators. What on earth is going on? The most useless police force on the freaking planet is the Capitol Hill Police, and they have 2,700 officers for a two square mile block area, 2,700 officers, and they're ever expanding. The entire city of Seattle has 700. The entire city of Detroit has less than 1,000. But a 2 square mile area has 2,700 of these idiots and cowards and liars and perjurious liars. You can bring it back to me. Here's the thing. I need to come up with a list because lists make me feel better. Of all of the task forces, again, using those 7,000 employees at Quantico alone that we don't need, that don't do anything for us at the FBI Hoover building, there needs to be a Borland task force, an Ashley Babbitt task force, a Liz Cheney task force, an Adam Kinzinger task force, an Adam Schiff task force. Can all be done. Those people are doing nothing anyway. It has nothing. Has nothing to do with the economy. Cash Patel has nothing to do with the economy. Has nothing to do with securing the southern border. Plenty of time. Plenty of time. That's what the FBI is supposed to do. Now we're going to turn the FBI on itself and on the Washington, D.C. swamp, which includes the Capitol Hill Police Department. Need to have a Fanone task force, a Harry Dunn task force, a Gunnell task force. All these liars and these perjurers and whatever the name, I can't remember it off the video if you remember it, the female officer beating Roseanne Borland after she's unconscious. Who didn't know she was unconscious by looking at the video? Why would you walk up to an unconscious individual and beat her with a metal rod made out of a heavy alloy? Can anybody give a reasonable explanation for that or a reasonable justification? All right, 10-12, that's good. I knew I wouldn't get to anything else. Oh, my gosh. I knew I wouldn't. Dadgummit. Oh. But anyway, we need to record tonight's Rumble Rant.
Okay.
This might be our record.
I got to shrink it so you can
Aaron
read it all.
Aaron doesn't even have, it didn't fit on the screen.
Yeah, here.
This is the biggest Rumble, as far as numbers is concerned, might be the biggest. But let's add this up, Aaron. Let's add this up because we're going to go for records. We're always talking about records. So Rumble Rants tonight, Gianna Jones, $40. Flash River, $25. Florida Bubs, $20. Nude Monk, $30. The Matriarch of the Rumble Rant, Tammy L. Margaret, every night, $10. Buckeye Nut, 1968, $10. Todd Suff, $10. Gucci Buckeye, $10. Mike Griffith, $10. Nitsua, $99, $10. Nitsua, $5. Hassle Free TV, $5. Dave Souders, $5. Thank you to everybody in the Rumble Rant. Thank you to everybody in the Rumble chat. Thank you guys so much. Gianna Jones, you just give another $5?
Yeah, she did.
Thank you, Gianna Jones. Thank you so much. All right, make sure you stick around. Add those numbers up. Let me see.
$185.
$185. Yep. Okay, that's not our record, but I think we've been over $300, haven't we? We'll make our record $300.
But the number of people.
The number of people is probably our record, but the dollar amount. And it all goes to the ministry, by the way. Not a dime goes to me, just so you know. But anyway, yeah, Peg Jow, I got you. I'm not going to go to 1026. There we go. That's it.
It's over. That's sorry.
It. This is it right here. 30 seconds to go. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome, as always. Stick around for it. Heartwarming stuff. Some negative, but mainly heartwarming stuff. You'll love it. Stick around for it. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
2 Corinthians 8:9. He became poverty so that you could become rich. And then Christians think that it's an attribute to be poor. That's like saying that it's an attribute to become sin because he became sin. Well, you just want to feed the world. How are you going to feed the world when you're broke? Wouldn't you rather, instead of signing up for a dollar a day to save this or that, wouldn't you rather save an entire village by giving them $5 million? Well, we have all of that. The cattle upon 1,000 hills and all wealth is his. Romans chapter 8. 16 and 17, joint heirs with him. Therefore, what does heir mean? Inheritance. It's yours. And it's not yours in heaven. It's yours now. Nobody ever believes it because they've been ingrained into believing that poverty is a Christian attribute. It is not. If you don't want it, give it away and let God make you a continuous conduit of cash.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.